Hello and welcome back to the Rear Wing It Formula One podcast. I'm your host, Ellie Ledwell, and I'm joined by my co-host,
Harry McKay.
So it's the start of 2023. How are you feeling, Harry?
I'm feeling rejuvenated, you know? I'm ready to go.
Ready to go.
Ready for another season of Formula One. God, yeah? I love this sport.
That is very positive. Yeah. That is lovely to hear.
Yeah, some positive vibes, you know?
Positive indeed.
Yeah.
So, full disclosure, we have had testing.
Testing has come and gone.
It's come and gone, and we're recording this post-testing, pre-Bahrain, so...
Ellie, I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to be honest with me
and
the listeners. How many minutes of testing did you not watch?
That is definitely the easier question.
Yeah.
So there's 4.5 hours, 2 sessions a day, 3 days. So I probably missed about 10 minutes.
Yeah, cool. Cool. That's what I wanted to hear. So what you're hearing and are going to hear is very accurate predictions.
No.
Because Ellie has the full knowledge that, you know, anyone could have. She's got as much knowledge as all these pundits, and you're going to get some good knowledgeable, realistic predictions.
Well, yeah,
cool.
That's a lot of pressure. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully they'll be better than last year's, because, you know, as we've said,
yeah,
diabolical.
We did really not nail it.
Yeah. So what are your main hopes going into this next season? What do you want to see? What do you not want to see?
My hopes and dreams.
Yes, please.
Number one, I would like a more intense battle than last season for the championship. And I would like that battle really to be between Alonso and Stroll. I think I would like an Aston Martin dominating season. No one else is in contention. And then Stroll takes it 23, 24, 25.
And then Stroll gets cast as the next James Bond because of their associations with Aston Martin. And then he's like, what are you talking about? Because he's Canadian, and that's how Canadians speak.
Okay, I was going to attempt it. I'm not going to. That's the dream.
That's the dream.
I'd like it to be perhaps another, if it was just another Max and Leclerc, but tighter, I'd be quite happy with that.
Yeah, I would be happy with that.
Chuck in Hamilton and Russell to do a little bit of picking from the sidelines every now and then. Disruption, you know. I don't think they're going to have the car to be on the same level, but hopefully they're closer so they
can
get
a few podiums. But,
That's what I'm predicting anyway, as well as hoping. I do think it'd be nice to have Alonso, in all seriousness, have a better car and maybe get a few podiums.
Yeah, definitely.
I think if he got a race win, it'd be the first to win a race after 300 races.
Uh-huh. Wow.
But Hamilton could also do that.
Yeah. Do you reckon when Alonso gets, like, in and out of the seat, because it's quite, like, tight and it's quite, like, low
like
down.
A stiff old man.
Do you think he's a stiff old man? He's in his 40, 42, 43.
I think we would be worse getting out of the car than him. I think the man is in the prime of his life. I think we're about to see Alonso do good this season.
Yeah, I think he's going to do good. And he has a teammate that I feel he can easily beat.
Yeah. How dare you?
Stroll's been getting better.
He has hurt his wrists, but there was rumours he wasn't going to race in Bahrain, but they said he is.
They said he's part of the team, but they haven't really confirmed 100%.
They said he was driving.
But I didn't know if he was going to drive.
It's like a practice session.
Yeah, would he drive a few practice sessions, see how he felt? Because they have Drogovic and Van Dorn, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe not Van Dorn.
But anyway, it will be Drogovic if not.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. Hopefully he's fit and healthy.
Yeah.
But this year, 23 races, 23 for 23.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of races.
Wow, a lot of races. Can't wait.
Oh, actually, I meant to say on Twitter, because I'm down with Twitter now, there was this like Alpine like multiple choice question, and I got 7 out of 7. So,
well done.
Thanks.
Hopefully, once again, just showing that your prediction should be the best, I feel.
Pretty much. They were quite easy. I Googled several. Imagine.
And also, it's quite like you. This is slightly off topic, but to finally get into Twitter just as everyone else is leaving and it's crumbling.
What do you mean it's quite like me? When have I ever gotten into...
Well, I just feel like you're, you know... You're
an old lady that's a bit late to the party. Like, yeah,
turning up with the balloons and everything when everyone else has left.
Yeah, that is quite accurate, to be fair. Anyways, back to this whole 23 for 23 thing. Longest season ever.
Woo!
Woo, indeed.
For us.
For us. Yeah. Not for our families and friends who want to speak to us and spend time with us.
Yeah.
So those three people.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to be the best one? What's the worst one? What are you thinking?
Well, I always say Baku.
Mm-hmm.
Last season and the very first season have not been that exciting.
Yeah.
Every other race has been very exciting.
Yeah, it's always been good.
I'm hoping for a return to form this year, and I just like the track. It's a street race, but I like it.
I do indeed like
it. So I always have that one as one of my favourites. I think Viva Las Vegas is interesting.
Yes, definitely.
It's so strange. Like, we obviously had the Miami one last year.
It wasn't great.
It was not good, and we were not excited for it. There's no reason why this one is, just looking at the track, going to be any better.
No, it's just a straight line.
Big old straight, and then, I mean, it doesn't look interesting. It might be okay, but it's just something about Vegas that
Vegas,
you just,
baby,
you know.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a spectacle.
Yeah, a bit,
you know,
like Monaco. Like,
Monaco isn't a great race, but it's a spectacle.
Yeah.
And I think Vegas, you know, at Miami, the grid was so packed with celebrities you could hardly move. I think Vegas, they're going to be swarmed.
I can't wait for the Martin Brundle's grid walk.
Oh, iconic, definitely. Oh, imagine if we were there, that'd be correct.
Yeah.
But there'll definitely be lots of famous people and lots of people he doesn't know who it is. So the race might not be as great, but it's going to be a big event and a big spectacle.
Yeah.
But it will be the third race in the US in 1 year. Do you think that's too many? They have a big population and their sport is growing rapidly over there. But do you think it's too many for one country?
Yes. Yes. I do. I
so
don't.
Do I.
Can you be racist against Americans? Or am I good?
Well,
to
I
go?
Mean, we like made that country.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
I don't like. No. No. I think it's I think it's too many. You know, the fact that we don't have some great tracks on the calendar, like Sepang in Malaysia.
Yes.
You know, I know it's not very financially viable. I know money comes into it, but, you know, if you were going to say, hey, we're going to have this massive race, but we're going to take that money and we're going to invest it and we're just going to, hey, we're going to pay for it ourselves, you know, for the fans, here you go. Because, yeah, I love the spectacle and everything, but if we've just got another racetrack that's not very good.
Yeah, because Miami was not very good.
No, it wasn't very good, was it? Let's be honest. And it wasn't really a racetrack, it was a parking lot.
It was,
And this is just gonna probably be the same, you know. We don't know. You
it was
know
a street circuit
it.
In a car park.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like there wasn't any streets to.
No.
You know, when you think of a street circuit, you think of like Monaco or Baku, and you think of like
Singapore.
It's close, and there's like buildings on top of you, kind of thing, and it's like high drama because if you crash, you're crashing into someone's front room.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's a
and it's.
Fake, like a synthetic street circuit.
Because, like, I like the street circuits because they're not every race and because they're iconic. Now you're getting these new ones that are not even in new iconic locations, Vegas aside slightly, but it just feels like it is just for money. The racing's not there. And what happens when you have a whole calendar of these races that aren't very good?
Yeah, you lose the fans.
Yeah, how you know, it doesn't matter how many regulation overhaul you have to try and make better racing. Well, if the track's rubbish, what's the point?
And a lot of fans are getting into it through, say, like Drive to Survive, or there's a lot more media outlets for the sport now. But then are they the same fans that are going to be turning up to races? Are they the same fans that are going to actually watch 23 out of 23 or races? Or are they more like, oh, I'll watch it when I can watch it, and then I'll watch Drive to Survive because I like that?
I don't know, and I just think there'd be nothing wrong, really, when you're having more races. If, you know, it'd be a very different conversation if there was three amazing racetracks.
Yeah.
And they were in, you know, Central America, well, center of America, East Coast, West Coast. You know, it's a big country.
I guess you do kind of have that, though, because you have Miami.
Yeah, and that's what they've done, right? But Texas, if they were three amazing race courses, like, people wouldn't be so annoyed, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because you're still getting quality races. They're a big country. They're far apart.
And they've got a lot of fans. Like, they are selling out the tickets. Yeah, it's not
and it's making money. Like,
you know, like Malaysia or some of them over that way, then they're not full stands. No. And that is disappointing. But I just think we should have another race in the UK.
Do you know what? I would say yes, but it would be just as expensive, but we still wouldn't be able to afford it.
Yeah. So. And also, like, there was obviously rumours of, like, a London street circuit, and I think that'd be terrible. I just don't know, like...
And that Stroll, he's gone straight into the statue of Nelson and...
Nelson's column, yeah.
Nelson's column, and...
And then Joe's in the Thames or something. Joe's in the Thames.
Russell's, you know, punted, you know, someone off, and he's gone into the Buckingham Palace and killed the king or whatever. Like,
yeah,
you know, stay out of our city, I feel.
Yeah, our city. Yeah. We don't live there, but
it's just, I feel like a York one would be fine. I'd just tell, like, you know, anyone I sort of disagreed with, maybe like a lecturer that's marked me down, just get him to, like, stand in the road.
Yeah, that's quite violent.
We'll cut that bit.
We'll cut that bit. we won't. So there is no China, however. So the season was going to be even longer then with COVID.
China has more people.
Yeah.
Why haven't we got three races in China?
Indeed.
We haven't even got one.
And they've got, you know, they're good for the money. You know?
Yeah. They're good for it.
They're good for it. It's just because...
A bit strange, to be honest.
Western sport. And also, who owns, may I ask you, Harry, who owns Formula One?
I don't know.
It's Liberty Media.
Yeah, Liberty.
And what are they? They are an American company. Mm. I'm just saying. Throwing that into the mix. You know, they're not a Chinese company.
No, they're not.
And that's why we've got no races in China. And, you know,
America. Well, it's because of the COVID situation, right?
It's because of COVID.
But they've all opened up pretty much and led, you know, gone...
I guess they made the decision to take off the calendar before China made the decision to open up and just have at it, but...
Yeah. I suppose I don't really know why they had it on the calendar in the first place. Like this season, I mean.
Oh, they put it in...
Because they knew they were going to then have to take it off, so... Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got a big gap because of it.
There's a 3 weeks and then a 3 week gap. So it's, or maybe not three, but we have a 3 races and then we have quite a big gap, which is a...
No, it is three, it's like 4 weeks, 3 weekends gap. Which, you know, the season's just started and then you have a massive gap is not the best.
No, it does seem a bit like stop-starting. There was talk of putting in Turkey, I think. And then, I don't know, I think there should be more races in different places, you know?
Yeah.
It makes sense. Like, it's cool, why isn't there one in India? There used to be one in India.
Yeah, I think that's, again, just government-level issues and a bit corruption. And.
But why isn't there one in, like, South Africa or Egypt? Yeah, like, imagine a really cool South one Africa, in Egypt. Right. Like, that'd be cool.
No, I do think that should be the priority over 3 US races. But suppose you have to go where the money is, but it's expensive to hold these things, isn't it? So,
and we've got this crazy long calendar now, and we were told, like, oh, we're going to go around the globe in order kind of thing to make it a bit greener. And we're still dotting around the place. We're going from Europe all the way to Canada just to come back to Europe again.
Yes. The thing I did see was they have multiple sets of some of the stuff, right? Like the garages and stuff. Uh-huh. So you have, like, 3 or 4 sets of those. So they will stay around Europe and then they'll stay around the Americas. It's obviously just the travelling for the teams and the cars and stuff. But then I don't know if, because they're going home sometimes, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess
I think they probably could still tweak it, but it's slightly better, I feel.
It feels slightly better. You do have more of, like, a Europe leg. It's just the fact that there's Canada in the middle of it that kind of baffled me, but... Hopefully there's a way to get it less miles and less freight and stuff, because a way to decrease that, as you may have seen, is Haas have a tiny, tiny, tiny pit wall now. And it's because there's only three seats as opposed to five, because they realised they only needed three seats. So it's really tiny. And obviously they operate on a smaller budget compared to a lot of the teams.
I think they're saving like a quarter of a million.
Yeah, on this cost, which is...
I mean, it looks ridiculous, but it's like a almost like an arcade machine look like box compared to the others, which is like massive.
I did see somebody had... I think it could have been like Formula One or someone. They were like, or Haas. They were like, "Don't worry, guys. It was just cold."
Yeah.
So that's good. That's one of the older fans.
Yeah.
PG 30. So who knows? Maybe in the hotter climates, it'll be. but yeah, it saves a lot of money that they can invest in the car, and
because they didn't hit the budget cap.
They didn't. They didn't have the money to hit the budget cap. So. You know, £500,000 is a big saving for them, for any team, but a quarter of a million, I think it was, sorry, is a good saving.
I did just want to quickly return your point about the climate, trying to offset and stuff. F1 have joined forces with UNICEF, as like a charity partnership. But there was quite a lot of pushback from certain subset of the internet and the group saying, you know, how could you partner with F1? They're helping to destroy the climate and all this. And I don't know if I thought that was the fairest assessment, since they have done, they do quite a lot in engineering and creating new
like the
engines,
hybrid technology that we see in cars on the roads now, that comes from Formula One.
Yeah. So, it felt a bit like when people scream at NASA for wasting money and not realizing how much, you know, investment you get out of that.
How much more
money it brings in. So, I did feel a bit like, well, this is beneficial to both parties. Yes, it is a bit of F1 trying to make their image better, but I feel like it's a bit naive to,
F1
to pretend
does have,
otherwise.
Stricter targets, like it wants to be like carbon neutral 2023. Yeah. That's only 7 years. Goodness me, it goes quickly.
I think our whole country's supposed to be doing that,
but yeah.
Not sure we're gonna hit that.
Whereas in a lot of sports, it's like net zero 2020. Sorry, 2050. Yeah. And some people are like, oh, we'll reduce by half by 2030. Whereas Formula One, they do have quite like strict targets. And I think Mercedes, factory operates off of green energy. Yeah. I think they operate carbon neutral.
Yeah, already. I think a lot of it's like offsetting, and people were criticizing that. But, you know, I think, again, it comes down to everything is slightly evil. So, you know, if this helps, and it will help millions of children.
Yeah, if you can,
you know,
put food in children's mouths and clean water and clothes and education, it's like, does it matter where the money's coming from if it's going for something good?
And again, eventually, this is going to help push Formula One towards a better place. I do feel like some of this is like, not people in glass houses, but like people in nice houses trying to, you know, pew-pew everything else that isn't morally 100% perfect. And that's coming from someone who is quite supportive of these things generally and is quite left-wing. But I just, I just felt like that rubbed me a little bit the wrong way.
I thought you were more rear-wing than left-wing.
You're on fire today.
Yes, thank you kindly, sir. Another interesting and probably the most important partnership is Formula One with Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh my god. Okay, so we're going to end the episode here.
I imagine Lewis Hamilton's not very happy because he's an Arsenal fan, but...
I don't know, I imagine most people's not happy with this. I don't know how this...
I did message my dad saying Tottenham Hotspur, Formula One team, and I maybe could have convinced him if my brother hadn't have told him that wasn't true. We'll see. Maybe 2026 they'll enter. Yeah, Harry Kane. I don't know if he can drive very well, but a lot of footballers, they drive way too quickly anyway and get told off for it. So
might be all right.
They might be all right. We got a bit sidetracked here. No idea what we were talking about, but I'm going to move on to Pirelli. Pirelli get a lot of stick. They're the only,
rightfully so.
They're the only tyre provider, so there's a lot of expectations.
This is, honestly, there's no competition, So this is like, again, I'm sounding very right wing here. So it's like a nationalized tire thing, right?
Yeah.
There's no competition, so they've got no reason to. No, but it's yeah, they get a lot of stick, and this is they're attempting to change it up a little bit.
So an issue that we've had in previous years is the wet tire, to do with temperatures and also to do with the amount of spray that it creates. So sometimes it'll be the drivers can handle the car fine, there's no aquaplaning, but we can't go racing because there's way too much spray, and that's the dangerous part. But they have bought out an improved wet tire, so I'm not sure how it deals with this problem and if it will deal with this problem, but they've said that we'll be able to get racing faster in wet conditions, which hopefully we see that play out this season, because I do like a wet race, and we have had recent races like Japan and then Spa the year before that where we lost whole races, well, not whole races, but we lost parts of whole races because of the weather, and it was because the conditions, the drivers could drive in the conditions, but they couldn't see.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair enough. You look at some of these onboards, and it's, if you're not first, you know, maybe second, you can't see anything.
You can't see anything.
I'm not confident that this is going to help that much, because I think spray is the issue, and I don't know how.
Unless you could, like, channel the water on the tyre so that it's sprayed, like, maybe instead of out. Backwards, more outwards. Yeah. If you can see my hand movements, you know what I mean. He's
really demonstrating it quite well. I'm not a tyre expert. I don't know if that's possible. That seems like black magic to me. That doesn't seem possible. but maybe.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. But though, I'm not hopeful.
There's also an extra slick compound. So we've had the C1, compound 1 to compound 5. And this year we have compound 0, which
I mean, why would you not go 1 to 6?
Because it was the hardest of them all. So they went for like, oh, the 1 was the hardest, and now we've made one that's even harder.
Yeah, but just then make 1, and that can be harder.
Yeah. Yeah, because then what if they make an even harder one, like C minus one?
Like, they're not like you have the super. It's not like there's an easy way of comparison anyway, and it changes every tack, and they still call it like
hard, medium.
So why bother? It's not like, yeah.
Yeah, so we have the they could have just called it C1 and then moved it down to C6.
They should have done that,
but they didn't. So we have this new hard compound, and so at the moment, the tyre blankets are heated to 70 degrees. Mm. That's boiling hot. No wonder all the mechanics wear gloves when they're handling the tyres. And they want to move to no blankets. So I think they're trialling them at like 50 degrees, but that was too cold. But I think Formula One want within the next few years to go blanketless.
Yeah, not quite. There's going to have to be some proper change, isn't there, to do that?
Yeah.
I suppose it, in the long run, it would be good if it works. But, again, it's one of those things where I'm not really hopeful.
No, I'm not too hopeful either, because I don't really get how you could have a tyre without a blanket. Like, how would you heat? Like, you'd still have one lap where you were
sliding around like ice, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because if it was just room temperature, 25 degrees, that's like half of what it needs to be. Because it's heated to 70, and sometimes they'll get other blankets, and it will still take them a few laps to get them up to temperature.
Yeah, exactly right. They often complain about their tyres being cold already, like on the first lap, so I don't... Yeah.
I think it's because when they put them on, they're that temperature, and then they go quite slowly down the pit lane.
Yeah.
So I imagine they're probably losing some temperature on that stretch.
And then they've probably got to get them up higher anyway. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's constantly tyre changes. It never makes much difference, but it keeps them busy. So.
Yeah.
You know.
It keeps them busy. Yeah. One more thing before we move on to our predictions that are going to be embarrassing. I just wanted to give Susie Wolf a shout out because she's been put in charge of the Formula One Academy, which is the junior formula specifically for females, like 16-year-old to whatever. She's been put in charge of that.
Yeah.
I think it's a good hire.
Yeah, I think it's a good appointment.
I think she was trying to move out of motorsport, out of Formula One, but then she was offered this, and she was like, that's an offer I can't refuse, because she knows how hard it is.
Yeah, she could do a lot of good there. I think she knows the sport.
And she knows how to run
Formula
things.
One.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, she's been there. She only managed to get in to test a Formula One car.
Yeah.
But, you know, she comes through karting with Hamilton and, you know, her husband knows a thing or two about Formula One.
I imagine basically, you know, she'll see the end goal of trying to get women into Formula One.
Yes.
And have that as her main mission. So I think that's why it's a good hire. And yeah, she's got that, you know, wealth of experience with Toto right beside her.
Yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I think that's good.
Hopefully, yeah, because it could be promising
to
get some girls into Formula One because
there's
no reason, really, that a woman can't drive a car as well as a man.
Mm.
You know, it is a very physical thing. But then a lot of the drivers, like, I feel like I could lift them above my head. They're not very big. They're not very muscly.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel I think,
you know, I feel like a woman could do.
Yeah. And they could definitely do it better than drivers that have been and are in the sport, like, you know, Latifi. A woman can drive better than Latifi, you know?
Yeah.
When you try and bring biology into it, that might be at the very peak, you know, Verstappen in his peak now, Hamilton in his peak now, and a woman in her peak then. Maybe you have questions about that. There's no reason why there can't be women in these seats in the mid-range cars and be doing better than
because obviously like a woman isn't going to run 100 meters versus a man because Usain Bolt's quicker than Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce and both of them are very, very quick people, but there are still female sprinters that are faster than
some males.
Men
exactly.
They're just like the men aren't going to the Olympics but they still are sprinting, so hopefully we see some progression.
Get a woman in there. Get him, and you know, watch them kick Stroll's butt. I think that'd be quite funny.
Yeah. I don't know if his dad will allow that.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's go on to our predictions.
Yeah.
We'll start off with best rookie.
Okay.
So Harry, who are you saying? We've got three rookies this year. We only had two last time, and then obviously we've got Hülkenberg back in the sport after some time out.
Yeah. Well. Hülkenberg has a beautiful spot in my opening F1 fantasy league.
Oh, lovely.
So I'm expecting big things. And mostly because he was cheap enough to put in when I'd spent all my money on the Red Bull drivers. But I'm going to say who will impress us the most is Nyck de Vries.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got good momentum. He just jumped into a car, did well on his debut, which I think will help him. I don't think the car he has is going to be amazing. I don't think he's going to be, you know, regularly scoring points or, you know,
The AlphaTauri
doesn't look good. But I think he's paired with Tsunoda, and I think as like a teammate pairing, I think he's got a good chance of. Well, the best chance of beating Tsunoda, or at least giving him a run for his money.
He's expected to, because it's his first season, but he's 28 years old.
Yeah.
So he's quite old. His UQ's 22.
Yeah.
So he's 6 years older.
Yeah.
He has won in junior formulas and Formula E. Has he won?
I think possibly, yeah. I just think Tsunoda has more pressure, because if he doesn't beat him, I think, you know, Tsunoda could be probably gone.
But then Tsunoda hasn't beaten his teammate since he's been in Formula One. He had Gasly.
But Gasly, I think, has been in longer.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have a great stint at Red Bull, but I feel he's got to step up now. He's got to lead the team.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't, well, why don't you then move on, try and get someone that's going to crash less, going to perform better.
Yeah,
I think he's at risk if he doesn't.
Yeah, I think Nyck will be expected to compete with Yuki.
Yeah,
and
I agree
if he does beat him by a large enough margin, then that could be curtains for Yuki.
Yeah. I'm most excited about Piastri.
Yeah, I think everybody has had a lot of hype going in. There was all the contract saga going on.
Yeah, that was definitely a silly season we've had in a while.
Oh goodness, yeah.
I think he'll be let down by the car. I think Norris will still outperform him. I don't know if the gap... I don't think the gap will be as big as to Ricardo, but I think it might vindicate Ricardo a little bit in the sense that, you know, there's high hopes for Piastri, but he doesn't match Norris, and he still struggles with the car, and I think it will perhaps... And this is heavy copium. This is me just trying to... really trying to... but that is what I'm expecting a little bit.
Yeah, I've said that, like... Piastri, he's younger, right? He's not, like, Norris is still very young, but Piastri, he's born in 2001, so the same year as us.
Yeah.
He's younger, he's got good results behind him, you know, he's won where, you know, he was at Formula 2 and he won, and he was at Formula 3 and he won. So
yeah,
he's got pedigree, but because of the comparison to Ricciardo, I don't think... He has very high expectations, but I don't think he has much to lose, because if he finishes with a large-ish margin to Norris, I don't think anyone's gonna say he's a bad driver or
he's not.
So I think he has like less pressure. I think he has. You can look at it and say like, oh, he has a lot of pressure because there's been such a hype around him, but because
there's already that baseline of there was another driver everyone thought was good who struggled, you know. And I think almost the pressure is more on Norris, because if Piastri comes in and doesn't beat him, it's kind of expected in a way.
Hmm.
But if he does match him or beat him, then suddenly Norris now has this competition that he didn't have.
Yeah, because Norris has been kind of not coasting, but he hasn't been challenged. For the last few seasons, he's been doing
really well. But when you know, your teammate is a lot worse than you. You don't quite know, do you? Like,
yeah, exactly. And I think Sargeant got an American back on the grid.
Yeah,
I think he'll do all right. Albon seems to be doing quite well at Williams. He seems to have settled in. They, you know, haven't given some solid results, but he again, he's not somebody that's got big shoes to fill.
No, yeah, I think if he does, if he manages a couple points, you know, like 2 points. That will be an okay season for him. It depends on how the car is.
And it depends how much he crashes, because they've not got a massive budget. Yeah. So
if he keeps it on the track, that's probably a win for him.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with.
Quite a few rookies, but...
considering we had one last year, three this year.
Yeah.
And 2019, 4 years ago, I think we had three rookies as well. Yeah. It was Norris, Russell, and Albon, was it?
Yes, I think so.
Or... Yes.
Yeah, it was like that newer generation coming through.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Nick De Vries, but I do hope, you know, there's more expectation wrapped up in Piastri for me.
Yeah, and also De Vries, he has a Formula One race behind him. He's been around the sport for a long time, so like he is still a rookie, but he's less of a rookie than the others. As I said, he's 28. He's been sitting on the Mercedes pit wall for a very long time. Yeah. So we'll go into our constructors predictions. Harry, would you like to give us your top three in order?
I'm gonna say Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes. That not is very inspiring. What I have gone for. Yeah. There was lots of I have a sort of a graphic of several 8 different F1 pundits, I think, and the majority of them put Aston Martin above Mercedes after testing. Whether that's true or not, I don't think it will stand for the whole season.
No, I don't think it will, because Mercedes will have progression as we saw last year.
I think Aston Martin are moving in the right direction. They've got their wind tunnel coming online, new factory, like everything is building to be a better car. And if they are, you know, if I put them here as fourth, if they manage to beat Alpine, who I think will be their main competitor for fourth. I think that would be a win for them. But I think, same as last year, Red Bull and Ferrari fighting for the title.
Do you think it'll be closer?
Closer, but not like two seasons ago close. Not like I think it'll be closer, but Red Bull still, you know, I'd say 50-point margin maybe by the end, Verstappen over Leclerc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think
not less than 50?
Yeah. So that you think?
I just think he's a better driver, and I think the car will still be better.
Yeah. And then Mercedes, do you think there'll be a big margin?
I think it will be a lot closer than it started off last year. But the car didn't look great in testing.
It looked like it had okay pace, but in the long runs it didn't look as quick. But it's really hard.
It was hard to tell. And I just... Yeah, I don't know. The fact that they kept the same sort of design... I think they will be better and they'll win and they'll challenge for podiums more often, but it'll be a bit more track specific. Yeah. And if Ferrari have got their stuff together a bit more...
Yeah, for a new principle. Yeah.
Their chief strategist is gone. Can't remember his name, but he should have gone a lot earlier.
Yeah.
I think he's actually been moved. I think it's a bit of a nepotism kind of thing, as Ferrari is. But yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
What about your next race? So fourth, fifth, and sixth.
Aston Martin, Alpine, Alfa.
See, I've gone Aston Martin, Alfa Romeo, and then Alpine.
Okay.
So I've switched now from that.
Interesting.
But we've both gone for AAA.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it'll be tight between the Alpine and the Aston Martin. I think that'll be their main battle. There's just that bit of me that wants... I think that Alonso might pip them, but I think as a pair, Ocon and Gasly and Alpine, I think...
Yeah.
The more realistic thing is Alpine in fourth, but...
It didn't look as good.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was just okay.
For me, I put Alfa Romeo above because the car looks a bit... From testing, and it's really hard to tell from testing.
Yeah.
Because that's one track.
Yeah.
And... We don't really know. But I did think that the Alfa Romeo looked maybe quicker than the Alpine. The only reason I think that if the Alpine were to beat them is because they have two consistent drivers, whereas the Alfa Romeo has, a second-year driver who's not, he didn't set the world alight last year. So we don't really, he's a bit of an unknown quantity.
Yeah, I'd be surprised, I think, Alpine. But I think they've been on a fairly consistent fighting for fourth, and I'd be surprised if they weren't in that battle.
Do you think it'll be a close, like, Aston Martin Alpine battle then?
Yeah.
Yeah. How close we kind of saw, like...
Yeah. I imagine throughout the season you'll see them trading places with occasionally shooting up into that third position when drivers in the top teams, fail. We'll get onto it, but I think that.
So have you got as your bottom four then? Seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth?
I've got McLaren in seventh.
Yes.
Did not look good.
No, it didn't.
In testing. But we've shown last season that they seem to struggle and then they do fight back through the season. And Norris, just being Norris.
Yes.
As long as the car's not too different to drive, I think he will put them up. But again, I do think Piastri might struggle. I just have a feeling. So I'm going to put them there. Then Haas.
That's what I've got as well.
Two solid drivers. Obviously, Hülkenberg coming back in after a while, but Magnussen showed that doesn't really matter. Then AlphaTauri, because it doesn't look very good. I could even see that behind the Williams.
I've put Williams in ninth, AlphaTauri in 10th.
Think the drivers are... I don't know. I think the AlphaTauri drivers maybe...
I think they're quite comparable.
They're quite similar.
Because I think Nick De Vries is a rookie, but he's coming in with like a lot of experience. But Yuki hasn't shown much.
No, but he can be fast. He can be.
He can be, but he's unreliable.
Yeah, and if the car's bad, maybe he'll crash a lot more.
Yeah. So I've actually gone for McLaren, then Haas, same as you, but then Williams and AlphaTauri. So we've got quite similar.
Quite similar, and I could see it going either way. Or nothing like this, but I think these are probably where it's going to shake out, close to this.
Yeah, I think so.
We've definitely not gone as wild as last year. I think we've sobered on those predictions. So.
And I think last year was such an unknown because it was new regulations, whereas this year we know a bit more what to expect. Okay, the Mercedes might be a bit more competitive, are they going to make that massive jump? Like, the McLaren doesn't look as good, but are they going to fall all the way down the order?
Or are these upgrades that they've supposedly got going to make... You know, Bahrain is not... Last year was not a good track for them.
Yeah.
And that's the only testing we've had has been at Bahrain. They did have the least amount of laps completed as well in testing.
AlphaTauri had the most.
Yeah, so...
and they didn't look great, so...
So really...
We'll see.
I feel like it's based in logic, but that logic could be flawed, you know?
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen.
No. Which is exciting.
That is exciting. Yeah. So, could you give me your top driver, please?
I mean, I think this would be expected from my constructors, but I think Verstappen is going to take it.
I've said Verstappen. That's why I think it's... I think the odds is 1-1, so you're not going to make any money if you've bet on him, so there's no point. Who have you got in second?
Then I think Leclerc. I think it'll be closer.
Yeah, I've got Leclerc as well, and I'm hoping for a tighter race.
Yeah.
So you've got Max and Leclerc, who's in third?
I don't know with this one. This one, I think it could go anywhere. You could have Perez if the Red Bull's a bit better, like it was. You could have Sainz, I think, if the Ferraris are closer, I think Sainz over Perez. If the Mercedes are more competitive, you could easily have Hamilton or Russell squeeze in there.
Yeah, I think that I've really struggled with how to shake into third.
I think if the Mercedes isn't as good towards the start and it takes them a while maybe to... I think it'll be closer, so I'd put Sainz.
I've actually predicted Sainz quite down the pecking order because I've just had this, like... You know how I get my visions?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm like, I'm a seer.
Psychic.
I think he's going to have a few spins and a few crashes and a few, like... gosh darn it kind of things
start to fall apart.
So I've actually gone for Perez. I've predicted Perez to have like a cracking season this year.
I would have liked that,
and then I've gone Hamilton, then Russell, then Sainz. But I'm thinking it's going to be close, so it's not like Sainz has fallen from grace. I think that it's going to be close between
a
Max,
few spins I think would could decide it, right?
Whereas like maybe like Max and Leclerc will be a bit further apart, but then I think Perez, Hamilton, Russell, Sainz could be really quite close together. And then I've gone for Alonso after that.
Yes, yeah, that, I mean, I think that's, if we're talking about like a, we'll come to like a surprise podium, but I think Alonso, I'm going to say podium and not a win, but I think if the car is fast and there's a chance where the top teams crash out, I think Alonso will be right there.
See, I didn't even list that as a surprise podium because I just assume it's going to happen at some point. You know, maybe a win would be a surprise win.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I said, Alonso on the podium more than once, I suppose. I think, you know, and if, you know, last season we didn't have that much, but Norris secured that fourth team podium, I think Alonso will fill that gap.
Yes.
I hope. I think that'd be cool.
So getting on to what your surprise podium, who do you think that's? Any other thoughts other than Alonso?
I'd like to see Norris. Again, Norris still hasn't had a win, right?
No. Come second, and he's come third, but he's never...
And I would love that, but I just... They're looking at the car, I can't...
Yeah.
It's going to be one of my hopes, but I don't think I could see that actually happen.
I don't think he could win, but I do think a podium...
It's possible.
I've put him on my list for surprise podium. I think, given the right conditions, right circumstances, you know, we saw him on the podium last year, and the car was...
He can do it.
You know, it wasn't great, but it was all right. So we'll never know. I've also got Albon, and I said it last year, and they were a million miles away, but I've seen the testing, and I think, do you know what? Crazy circumstances.
Yeah.
I'm talking like Spa 2021 circumstances.
Yeah. He's a good shout for if there is a truly crazy race, someone like that. If there's like loads of crashes, especially in the midfield, if he's just out of that, or, you know, he manages to avoid it all.
Yeah, or like late safety car, late drama, who knows. Also, I know it's quite far down my list, but I've put it as a surprise. I put Kevin Magnussen.
Yeah, I think he's solid, and he did have some good results.
He had some good results.
Yeah,
but again, these are surprises. These are these aren't just like, oh, I could have seen that happening. These are like, oh my goodness, that came out of nowhere.
To be honest, a lot of these ones, it's like more like you might see them get these kind of positions in a qualifying, a surprise qualifying.
Probably.
I think over a full race, I don't know. But you like to think that it could happen.
Yeah.
I think you could. I think the Alpines could quite easily get podiums, like third places, pick up a third place.
Hopefully we'll be looking at maybe six teams that could, on their day, pick up a podium.
Yeah.
As opposed to really three teams that could pick up a podium last year and then one surprise one for Norris.
Yeah. I think if we get... So we had four teams on the podium, even though it was just McLaren one. So we get five, and maybe the fourth and fifth getting one or two, then I think that would be That'd be an improvement.
It'd definitely be an improvement, yeah. You know, progress. Yeah. We're not going to...
And that's still, I think, the limit of what we're going to see. But yeah. I think it'd be nice.
I don't think we're going to see some crazy kind of shake-up. No, I think no. It's going to go to the form book out like last yeah. year, but we can always hope for slight improvements. And hopefully we do see them.
Yeah.
So...
That's... that's... the official Rearing It predictions. We hope for slight improvements.
Yeah.
Of the season.
You never know. No. We'll see.
And I think, honestly, if it's a little bit tighter and the expectations of the season before have faded a bit, the new regulation expectation has faded a bit.
Yeah.
I think if it's a slightly better than last season, it will feel like a lot better.
Yeah, I agree.
If just in general fans.
Closer to actual championship battle. Because yeah. we've had one in the last, like, 10 years.
Yeah. And it just... Yeah, I suppose.
You know. Well, even from, like, more than teams. That, really, because...
I mean, yeah. we had... Yeah, I suppose we were looking at season long, but they... Because we had the Ferrari and the Mercedes, you know, with Vettel kind of at the start of the season, and then by the summer break, it had always sort of fallen apart. We don't talk about Germany 2018, but I think then you had the inter-team, Nico and...
Yeah.
And Hamilton. Yeah, I think a nice three-quarter length of the season would be good.
Yeah.
You know? By the end, you think, okay, it'd probably take a quite a difference for, say, Leclerc to then come back and win it. But yeah, I think closer would be better.
Yeah, I just hope Ferrari are a bit more consistent. Yeah, I hope the drivers are a bit more consistent. Yeah. I think that'll help out massively. Yeah.
Hopefully, because it becomes a mindset thing as well, doesn't it? Like, if you're starting to really screw up at every point and the whole team's falling apart, the driver's going to make more errors.
Yes.
With Fred coming in, I think... could make a big difference.
Yeah,
in,
steady the ship a bit.
Yeah. And Leclerc does get along well with him.
Mm-hmm. So he came through.
Leclerc came through with him. The, Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Sauber. Was it Sauber there then? Or was it not called Alfa Romeo back
I
then?
Think it might have still been Alfa Romeo.
Well, I mean, it's technically like Alfa Romeo Sauber.
Yeah. Anyway, he was under Fred, and I think they get along well. So I'm expecting improvements on that front.
Yeah, better.
A better strategy would just be, if that's the bare minimum, I think.
Yeah, I think we could live with that.
Improvement. You can't get much worse, basically.
Sometimes I wonder, when they have so much data in front of them, how have they got many things so wrong?
I think maybe, because at home, there was most strategy calls they made, people at home were making better decisions.
Yeah.
So maybe they have too much data, they overthink it, they've got too much pre-planned, and then they panic, and I think that might be it.
Or maybe their strategist was a spy.
Yeah, he was actually just like...
You know, like in Trapped, the TV show, then there's like... Oh, well, one person is like the saboteur.
Okay, so it's like the mole.
I don't know what that is, but...
One person's a saboteur, basically.
Well, yeah, then maybe their like strategy person was like, oh, why don't we do this? It'll be great. And they were like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Sounds like a solid plan.
I'd like that. I think some more inter-team sabotage would really heighten the stakes.
Oh, yeah.
Just definitely. Like, oh, no, you know, Verstappen can't race because, you know, Leclerc's hired a scullery maid to poison his food and he's got diarrhea this week, you know?
Yeah, like in... like the figure skater who like took out the opposition.
Yeah, I think that Tonya Harding would be good. Yeah, Tonya. I think it'd be more interesting, you know.
I think it would be.
Yeah. Teams, get on it. Let's make it legal.
Yeah, legal maybe
FIA,
not.
Make it like, you know, like a grey area. Where you get three spies. Each team gets three spies that you can send out to other teams.
No. Oh, that would be. Great, it'd be like Civ 6.
Yeah, it's like a Civ game. You try and sabotage your opponents.
That'd be great. Anyway,
the amount of Civ games I've played where someone sabotaged my dam. Never build a dam, it's not worth it.
That is sound advice there from Harry. What do you have any final thoughts that aren't related to
I'm gonna go home
games?
And play Civ, you know?
That's your final
That's why I failed my dissertation. Final thoughts. I think it's going to be another Verstappen win, and I'm going to be happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope it's Verstappen's last win.
Ever?
Yeah, or at least for a few years. I don't like when drivers...
Like
no, I don't like him. Can't stand him, man. I'm I don't like when drivers win constantly back to back.
Yeah, it gets boring.
Yeah.
And then I always struggle to remember, like, oh, what year did that happen in? Yeah. What year did that happen? Because yeah, it's just all the same stuff.
And I think it, you know, if... Because my dad said, oh, don't you want Hamilton to get his eighth? And
oh, I do, yeah.
I was like, well, not really, because I don't like a driver winning 7-8 times. I think that's crazy. I think it's just bad for the sport in a lot of ways. But if Verstappen wins this year, the car gets better, Mercedes come back and there's a big battle and Hamilton wins it the next year, I'd be happy with that. And then he retires. Maybe Verstappen even moves on. I don't think he wants to be there forever.
Yeah.
You know, then you're letting new blood in. And I think that would be quite a nice wrap up to that area.
Yeah,
you
tie
know?
It with a little bow.
Yeah, a little bow. So I'd be happy with that. And I don't want Verstappen to just win and win and win and win. Because
for 15
even
years.
Though I like him and it's my team, I don't... Yeah, boring.
Yeah, that's why I'm really glad Tottenham don't win much.
Yeah.
It'd be too boring otherwise.
Yeah.
My final thoughts is the Mercedes... is 10 out of 10 the best looking thing I've ever seen. I just keep looking at it. I'm like, oh. I don't think it's going to be very good on track, but when it's stationary, I'm just like, oh, it's in black. It's good. It's looking nice.
I like the black better, but the black has connotations for me of like this awesome race car that was so dominant.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it was like a beast. It was crazy.
Frontline, yeah, beast kind of. And now it's a bit sad.
Oh.
Like if it, maybe. It's fighting for wins and they're back up there. And I'm eating my words. But if it's not, I hate the actual design of the car.
Oh, yeah.
I think it looks so stupid.
The lack of the side ports.
So stupid. Yeah. Like, even from a design perspective, like, even if it was faster, I'd be embarrassed to unveil that car. I'd be like, make it slower and make it chunky. Like, the Ferrari still looks the best.
Yeah. And they've all stripped down on paint because it's too heavy. Yeah. So they're all just looking quite black, matte, carbon fibre, raw carbon fibre. So it's going to be hard to tell them apart. The Haas and the AlphaTauri are very similar.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to have some missed commentary. But
get on that, FIA. Make it, you have to paint all the main surfaces.
Yeah, or like maybe or not like, the rear and front wing, but like the
main
body
of the car. Like, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe submit your design to the FIA so they can be like, oh, yep, yours is different enough.
Yeah,
sometimes it's so different. Yeah. My also final thought is we are playing Fantasy Formula One.
Yes.
So if anyone does want to join,
put the info in the description.
Yep.
The
links are on our social media as well. Yeah.
The winner gets bragging rights because
and we'll have the interview. We'll interview the winner.
There we go.
Boom. I don't know if this podcast is going to be running.
You're going to be interviewing me because I'm going to win. So.
We'll keep it going.
Yeah, we'll keep.
We'll keep it going. We'll see. We'll interview the winner.
Cool.
But we're not paying your expenses.
We're not made of money.
We're not made of money, indeed. So thank you for listening. It's been Ruining It Formula One Podcast.
Thank you.